afternoon, America. Welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio, and it's a glorious day, my friends, to be listening to America Out Loud. At least it is here in Michigan. The weather's gorgeous. You know, it's springtime. The kids are outside having a blast. I mean, maybe you might be able to pick them up on the microphone, actually, because they are, right now, they are out there just having a ball. And it's the beauty of springtime coming to the Midwest. The buds are beginning to bloom. The days are getting warmer. The sun stays out a little bit longer. And it's just a grand time. It is a grand time. And in addition to the grand time of spring, in addition to the grand time of the buds blooming and the birds fluttering and chirping and the animals running amok, just running everywhere, I look out my back window and I see the deer. They're just hanging out. We have this deer that there's a pack of three. There used to be four. You know, the neighbors and I are worried that we lost one of them. But there's a pack of four, and they just walk around, and they just roam the neighborhood like they own it. The other day, I'm in the driveway, and they just come up the driveway and walk into the grass and eat the leaves from the trees. And I'm just like, okay, I mean, you're one of us, I guess. But one of them has this floppy ear. You know, the ear doesn't stick up straight. It's down. It hangs down. I don't know what happened. So we call her Old Floppy Ear. It's Old Floppy Ear. And they just, you know, they just meander through the neighborhood. And it's fantastic. You love to see it. There's a fox who runs around. There's swans and Canadian geese out, you know, back out on the pond. The sandhill cranes are, you know, they hang out and they're just loud. It's just, I don't know, it's a time of awakening. That's what it is. Spring is a time of awakening. And it's appropriate. It's appropriate because not only is nature awakening in spring, at least from the animal and the plant kingdom, not only is that portion of nature awakening, but the human portion of nature is awakening. Yes, there are eyes opening. Parents are awakening. Supreme Court justices are awakening. That's the most beautiful thing. When you span the landscape of humanity, if you can notice some Supreme Court justices opening their eyes, stretching and yawning and starting to wake up, you're like, yes, let's go. It's springtime. Let's wake up the nine robed in black. Now, we're not going to be able to awaken all nine because some of them are just, you know, they believe it's their mission and calling to sleep through life, just to sleep right through it, to stay asleep. But some of them are awake. And we're going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about some of them today. We're going to talk about Idaho. We got to go back to Idaho. Idaho is killing it. My friends, if you live in Idaho, congratulations. Idaho might be the state to move to. Everyone talks about moving to Florida and Tennessee and the warmer climates. I'm telling you, Idaho might be the place to go. I mean, they've got potatoes. Really? I mean, what? Why not? What could go wrong? The land of potatoes. The weather might not be the best, but right now, the Ohio legislature is killing it, just crushing it. Last year, so we talked, before I get to last year, we talked yesterday about this law in Idaho that is going to go into effect here real soon, where you're not going to be considered misgendering somebody if you refer them to a biological correct pronoun or by their actual name. And this is beautiful. This is, we talked about this. It's common sense. It is common sense law, and we love to see it. Me personally, I'm somewhat disappointed that we've gotten to the place where we have to make these laws because it is such common sense. But okay, we're here. Then let's make them. Let's make the laws. If the laws are going to help the pendulum swing back to common sense land, then, and that's what we've got to do, then let's do it. But that's not the only thing happening in Idaho. So last year, Idaho passed a law that bans procedures like double mastectomies, bans these gender transition procedures, double mastectomies on girls who identify as boys and want to be a boy. This law bans these procedures. It bans giving children puberty blockers. The law bans giving children cross-sex hormones, which, by the way, have been linked to bone development issues. Not good. These cross-sex hormones have been linked to heart problems. Not good. This law further stipulates that doctors who perform these types of surgeries and procedures on kids, get this, could go to prison for 10 years. This, my friends, this is powerful. So the law is beautiful. The law is fantastic. The law is wonderful. However, it was challenged. It was challenged by a lawsuit. And it made its way to a district judge. I'm sure a Democrat. I mean, you never know, but Judge B. Lynn Windmill, windmill as in Holland. You got it, windmill. Actually, it's not windmill, it's win mill as in victory at the mill. This judge blocked the law. She blocked it in December. But Idaho has this attorney general, my friend, who's not messing around. This dude is not, he's not playing the game. And so this attorney general, what's his name? What is his name? What's Attorney General Raul Labrador. Okay, he appealed the decision all the way up to the Supreme Court. And his appeal is he wants to turn back the sweeping injunction placed on the law by this federal judge. The judge said essentially that the law is blocked. It's done. Justices, the Supreme Court justices, Neil Gorsuch, Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett all sided with the Idaho Attorney General, according to this article. This article is entitled "Supreme Court Allows Idaho Law Protecting Children from Transgender Procedures to Go into Effect." So, Gorsuch, Alito, Thomas, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, the Big Five. Not sure where the Chief Justice was on this. I mean, his name isn't even listed in the article. It's almost as if he's AWOL. These five side with the Attorney General. The justices who dissented were Jackson, Sotomayor, and Kagan, Elena Kagan, the three liberals, the three liberal ladies on the court. All right, they all dissent. Here's what Gorsuch had to say. He said, ordinarily, injunctions like these may go no further than necessary to provide interim relief to the parties. The injunction here he's referring to is the one by Judge Windmill, who blocked the law back in December. And Gorsuch is saying, usually these just go far enough to provide some relief. In this case, he says, the district court went much further, prohibiting a state from enforcing any aspect of its duty enacted law against anyone. This is a bit far, Gorsuch said. This amounts to an overreach. Isn't it great when springtime comes and the Supreme Court justices begin to awaken? I mean, this happened last spring. The justices awakened and basically made Roe v. Wade null and void. You love to see it. this ruling is important. It's the first time the Supreme Court has weighed in on a state law shielding children from life-altering gender medical procedures. This is a first. So the Supreme Court has really awakened. I mean, their eyes, my friends, are opening up. Oh, this is such good news. This today is a beautiful day. Today is a glorious day. The Attorney General here in Idaho, Labrador, he celebrated the ruling, saying it was a major win for children in his state. You know what, Attorney General Labrador? Not only is it a major win for children in Idaho, but this has the potential to be a major win for children throughout the country, all over the country. Major win. That's the potential that we're looking at here. And it's exciting. It is exciting. Litigation, of course, will continue. All the Supreme Court did was say that the block is lifted and the law can go into effect, but the lawsuit will continue. And most likely the Supreme Court's going to hear this case on its merits at some point through the appeals process. It will make its way to the Supreme Court. But this decision was simply to lift the block that this liberal, leftist, progressive Marxist judge placed on the law. Labrador said, "I've witnessed firsthand the devastating consequences of drugs and procedures used on children with gender dysphoria. And it's a preventable tragedy. And it's about time we had a politician speak out like this." It really is. It's about time we had a politician come to the microphone and say, I've seen what these devastating drugs do." The devastating drugs he's referring to are the puberty blockers. They're the cross-sex hormones. And it's documented that these drugs cause bone development issues, that they cause heart problems. In addition to cosmetic stuff, I mean, the hair doesn't stop growing. And it's it but what this attorney general is saying here, though, is what politicians need to be saying all over the country. And the important thing is it's a preventable tragedy. He continues, "The state has a duty to protect and support all children. And that's why I'm proud to defend Idaho's law that ensures children are not subjected to these life-altering drugs and procedures, in some cases, experimental procedures." I should say, in all cases, it's experimental. We don't know what the effect is going to be on these kids in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. This is experimental. We are crossing into brand new territory that we need not be crossing into. And this law will protect and defend every child in the state. He continues, "Those suffering from gender dysphoria deserve love. They deserve support. And I shouldn't say most importantly, but additionally, they deserve," in his words, "medical care rooted in biological reality." And that, my friends, that might be the most important piece to this. That might be the most important statement. These children who are confused, if they are legitimately, and I use the word legitimately, if they truly are going through gender dysphoria, they need love, they need care, they need support, and they need medical treatment rooted in biological reality. If they're going through gender dysphoria, they need to sit down with some counseling that directs them down a path towards their actual biological gender. All we're doing by acquiescing or giving in to their It just I don't mean to make it sound trivial when I say to their pretend world. It does it makes it seem trivial. It makes it seem like I don't take it seriously. I do, because legitimately some of these kids are confused, and legitimately they don't know which way to turn, and legitimately they feel trapped in the wrong body. I'm sure there is some reality to that. There's some truth to that. However, there is an equally large portion of children who are steered and directed this way. They are steered and directed into confusion by an adult or by somebody on purpose. Somebody, they know what they're doing, and they're steering these kids down this road to confuse them on purpose. It's intentional. And it's these kids, it's really all kids, all of them. They need to be steered back with the guideposts of biological reality. My friends, it's not reality to become a different gender. I'm sorry, it's not. It's not actual, it's not factual, it's not biological, it's not physiological. You've heard me say it here time and time again. Okay, you can get a surgery removing something or adding something. You can get these cosmetic procedures done that will make you look like the other gender, and not very well, I might add. But these surgeries can happen, and you can even take hormones. That doesn't make you the other gender. It doesn't. I can do it all day long. It will never make me a woman. I'm sorry, it never will. The only thing that can make a woman is God Almighty. That's it. I can't. Humanity can't. I can't turn myself into a woman, because we have these beautiful things called chromosomes, and we give them letters, XY, and that's what makes me male, and the double X is what makes her female, whoever she might be. And we can't change that. I love here that he said, I love that he said that kids suffering from gender dysphoria deserve love, support, and medical care rooted in biological reality. Ah, man, this guy, Labrador, just crushed it out of the park. He continues, denying the basic truth that boys and girls are biologically different hurts our kids. You better believe it hurts our kids, because it's a lie. It's false. It's not actual education. Okay, here we go. If you go into math class and that teacher up at the front is telling those students 2 plus 2 is 7,000, you're going to go through the roof. And you're going to say, why are you lying to these students? You're not even educating them. There's no education here. There's no educational value. There's no pedagogical merit to what you're saying. Get out. I need someone else in here that's going to actually teach them. Right? Why won't we say the same thing if we walk into a classroom and the teacher is denying the basic truth that boys and girls are biologically different? Why don't we tell that teacher, why are you lying to these kids? Get out. No, you're fired. You're fired. We should have superintendents and school boards with the guts. I'm going to be polite. With the guts, with the intestinal fortitude to start firing people, to start firing teachers for lying to students, and doing it on purpose, just for the sheer sick and twisted joy of confusing them. Because the teachers themselves are, dare I say, sick and twisted. Dean, how dare you call hardworking public school teachers sick and twisted? I'm not calling every single public school teacher sick and twisted. I'm not. But those that are doing this on purpose, those that are purposefully and intentionally and knowingly lying to students by telling them there's no biological difference between boys and girls, yes, those individuals are sick and twisted. They are. They are. That's it. They are. There's no way around it. And superintendents need, throughout every single public school district in this country, they need to start being men and women of actual character and actual quality and actual integrity, and firing teachers. Just flat out fire them. School board members, you need to enact policy that says if a teacher is knowingly lying to a student about something that is supposedly education, that teacher needs to be fired. Just needs to be fired knowingly, on purpose. If we know, I just we wouldn't let a math teacher stay in the math class if she told the kids that 5 times 5 was 3. We wouldn't let that teacher continue to teach. So why are we letting this continue to happen? That's my question. Ah, Labrador can I better step I'm going to step off my soapbox. There I go. I'm stepping off. Labrador continues. No one has the right to harm children, and I'm grateful that we as the state have the power and duty to protect them. And the man is taking his duty seriously. I got to give it to him. He is out here and he's out here. He is out here getting it done, and he's taking his duty seriously. Labrador's appeal to the Supreme Court was backed by 19 Republican attorneys general. And you know what? These individuals, they're absolutely, these 19, kudos to them. Kudos. Kudos to the 19. Let me see if I can find the 19 or the 19, because we need to give credit where credit is due. Let me pull up this. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Is Michigan not? No, of course Michigan's not on here. The attorney general. And okay, don't get me started, Dean. Be nice. Okay, here's the list: Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Ohio, well done, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Virginia, and the great state of West Virginia. Out there getting it done. These 19. Oh, the 19 led by Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall. This article, I'm going to dive into this article for a second. The attorneys general, the 19, filed a 36-page amicus brief in support of Idaho's petition to the Supreme Court to allow it to broadly enforce its ban on giving children life-altering puberty blockers and transgender surgeries. The brief argues that so-called gender-affirming care for children is dangerous, irreversible, and being pushed for ideological and financial reasons. Follow the money, kids. Follow the money. So this is highlighted in the brief that this so-called gender-affirming care, there's nothing care about it. Gender-affirming is not care. It's lying to the children. That's it. It's lying to them. It's telling them they can be something that it's physically impossible for them to be. It's impossible. Can't do it. And you know me, I'm an optimist. I think you can achieve things. I do. I think you can, you set yourself a goal and you go after it. Because this country was founded in freedom and independence to pursue these opportunities. This is not one of those things. This is not it. You wouldn't set yourself as a goal to be able to flap your wings or to flap your arms and fly as if they were wings. That's not a goal. That is that stupidity, because you will die every time. You will jump off the building and you will flap, 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 flap. But guess what? Your arms weren't created to be wings. No, they weren't. And the same holds true here. You can't have your gender desires and wishes affirmed and then make it come true, because if you were created a boy, then you were not designed to be a girl, and vice versa. And this filth, these lies, they are dangerous for children. They are irreversible. And they are being pushed for two reasons. Number one, ideological. It's a movement. It's a grotesque Marxist movement. And number two, it's for financial reasons. It's for the money. There's money in this. Insurance companies will pay. They will pay. And doctors and medical staff and professionals are like, oh man, we can charge up the wazoo. Doesn't matter that we're destroying the lives of children. Let's charge up the wazoo and let's make ourselves some money. Money, money, money. It's what we want. The article says that, in fact, this is the admission by officials at Vanderbilt University's hospital that transgender surgeries are huge money makers, which was first exposed by Matt Walsh. If you haven't seen What Is a Woman yet, Matt Walsh, holy cow, you've got to see it. You've got to watch it. It's just, I mean, it's good. It's good quality documentary stuff right there. Wednesday's brief. So this happened, I think, last week. The brief from the attorneys general highlights the medical complications children face from transgender procedures. And it says that the lower court's decision, blocking this law, puts children's health and safety in danger, all of them. Absolutely. And of course, the beauty of this is that the Supreme Court has never issued a ruling regarding bans on transgender medical treatments for children before. Though several federal appeals courts have upheld laws similar to Idaho's, now we've hit the Supreme Court. And this is their first time making a ruling on this. And granted, it's not, on the entire case at its merits, but it's something. And the fact that they have struck down a lower court's decision to block the law and to allow the law to go into effect, even while this lawsuit is still happening, it's an eye-opening moment. And it's exciting for the country, my friends. It is, because springtime is a coming and the eyes of justices are opening. And I just, you love to see it. It's good. It is really good. Now, of course, we've got leftist groups out there. We've got the ACLU, and they've asked the Supreme Court to strike down similar laws after losing the challenges. So we'll see. The amicus brief to the court says that the states supporting Idaho's appeal are concerned that a devastating medical scandal is at hand. Oh, you better believe it. You better believe there's a devastating medical scandal at hand. And devastating might not be strong enough of a word. The medical establishment, the brief continues, the medical establishment's fast tracking of vulnerable youth suffering from gender dysphoria and almost always a host of other psychiatric ailments, and I think that's often overlooked. In addition to these young people having gender dysphoria, there's a litany of other psychiatric things going on. As the brief says, other psychiatric ailments. And all of this just being ignored. All of it. The only thing we want to do is transition the boy to a girl and the girl to a boy. Why? What is the what's the diabolical, demonic rationale here? Yeah, and I use those words on purpose. It's diabolical and it's demonic. Oh, Dean, demonic, you're over the top. Am I? I mean, what type of medical professional would push aside all the other psychiatric issues going on and just look at the gender dysphoria and say, yep, we're going to affirm that dysphoria. We're going to affirm that. If a patient comes in with anorexia, are you going to affirm that anorexia? No, you're not going to affirm it. The patient will die if you do. So why are we doing this here? Why are we affirming the gender dysphoria? We're going to kill the patient. Without a doubt, we are. Without a doubt. The brief continues. I interrupted myself here. Let me backtrack. Okay, the medical establishment's fast tracking. Okay, for hormonal and surgical sex modification procedures that can leave them sterilized and permanently harmed. This is part of the medical scandal here that the 19 attorneys general are referring to. It's a medical scandal because they're going to provide these children hormonal treatments and then surgical sex modifications and these procedures that will sterilize them and will leave them permanently harmed. And why? For an ideological purpose and for money. It's one or the other. In some cases, it's both. Maybe in most cases, it's both. The brief continues, and I'll conclude with this. In response, over 20 states have joined Idaho in generally requiring children to reach the age of majority before undergoing medicalized sex change procedures. Yeah, let them become an adult. As an adult, if they want to make this decision to completely ruin and destroy their lives, fine, you go ahead and make the decision. But to force this on kids and to steer kids down this dark, demonic, destructive path is in itself, well, dark, demonic, and destructive. All of it. All right, I am up against the break. I went extra long here. Man, it's soapbox time, kids. I feel like I'm at the soapbox derby. And that's, I don't think that really applies here, but I feel like it because I'm just on the soapbox. Okay, I'm getting off. Let's pause here for this break. Thank you for joining me today. You're listening to The Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
The Wellness Company shares your values and fights for medical freedom. They put patients before profits and follow medical science, not political science like doctors on the left. Their chief medical board, which includes Dr. Peter McCullough, are the makers of the incredible American-made high-quality Spike formula. If you worry about spike proteins, go to twc.health and use promo code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount. Once again, that's twc.health, promo code OUTLOUD.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. You can find us here Monday through Friday at the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot, and we are happy that you are on board. Thank you for being on board. Thank you for being one of the smart ones and just finding your way to AmericaOutloud.news. I mean, this site is, it's just something. It really is. If you haven't explored the site itself lately, or if you haven't explored it at all, maybe you listen, you know, maybe you found this show on podcast and you've never even been to AmericaOutloud.news. You've got to stop, put me on pause right now and go to AmericaOutloud.news, or just keep me going in the background. That's fine. I mean, I'm fine background music. Just keep me going in the background. Go to AmericaOutloud.news and just start scrolling. The information that you will find there. Well, I say it all the time. It's where smart people go to get their news and information. That's the truth. Smart people make their way to America Out Loud. And I haven't approached Malcolm with this idea yet, but I want to have him on because I want to talk about the history. I want to talk about the history of America Out Loud. I want to talk about the impetus. I want to get the nuts and bolts. I want to get the nitty gritty. I want to get inside his head and find out what in the world, how did this thing start, and what spawned it in his mind? What directed him down this path? I want to know. I think it's important to know. I think it's important to pick the mind of individuals like Malcolm, who have started something, big, something of value, something of merit, something of quality, and just ask them some questions. I mean, find out, number one, what makes them tick and what did they go through? Now, I specifically want to ask Malcolm some, you know what? I'm going to stop. I want to know what he went through, but I don't want to throw all the questions out there now. I mean, he'll listen and he'll get all the questions in advance. I'm going to do to Malcolm what he does to me when he invites me on his shows. He gives me nothing in advance. He says, hey, will you come on today? We're going to talk about such and such, but I'm not going to specifically tell you. I'm just, here's the topic. This is what we're talking about, but that's it. That's all you get is a general something. You have no idea what he's going to ask you. You have no idea what direction he's going to take the conversation. And there you are. You're live on air and you just have to go with it. You're like, Malcolm, why didn't you give me a heads up? But he does it on purpose. He doesn't offer a heads up because he wants the conversation to be natural and to be organic, which is beautiful. It really is. It's what makes people want to listen. They want to listen to conversations that are natural and organic, not conversations that are scripted. If they want to listen to a conversation that's scripted, they'll go to the theater and they'll go watch a play. And there's a time and place for that. But this isn't that time and place. This is more natural. It's off the cuff. It's just organic. I don't have a script that I read. I don't. I get behind the microphone and I just go. I think the very first day I was on air, I think I did a test. I think I did a test run. And Malcolm was like, "What were you reading from a script?" Because, you know, I just kind of, he was listening. I think it was my very first time behind the microphone. And he was like, "Were you reading something?" I was like, "Yeah, I was." He's like, no, throw that piece of paper away. No, you don't write down your thoughts. No, you don't. When you're going to, you know, call someone up on the phone or go over to someone's house and have coffee or beverages, you don't write down what you're going to talk about, do you, ahead of time? If you do, you're weird. I'm like, well, no, I mean, that's true. I don't. He said, this is no different. It's just you're having a natural conversation. That's all it is. It's just banter back and forth. If you're going to have on a guest, just, you know, talk it out with them. Just have a conversation. If it's just you, do not write down what you're going to say. Just go after it. And that's what you get here. It's just, you're listening to me have a conversation with myself, ultimately. I mean, that's what's happening here behind the mic. I'm just out here talking, which for me is perfect because I've always talked to myself. Unless Cynthia is in the room and I can look over and talk to Cynthia. Sometimes she'll be in the room. She you know, she hasn't been on mic in a while. But, you know, sometimes she'll come on and we'll actually talk on air. But a lot of times she's sitting there and she's just nodding at me, or, you know, she'll talk back to me. And I'm like, okay, I can sit there and talk to her. But, you know, the others, you know, you out there, you don't hear her. But most of the time, it's just me having a conversation with myself, which, as I said, is perfect because I've always talked to myself. I always. I mean, Cindy will look across the room and she'll say, who are you talking to right now? Because my lips will move. When I talk to myself, I talk in my head, but my lips move. And I answer for myself and then again for myself. Oh, it's so weird. Sometimes I'm just not, I don't know. I think I'm weird. I think I am. I think there's, I don't know. Maybe I need some counseling. But this is how it's always been. And to me, it's natural. To me, it's natural just to have a conversation with myself. So sitting behind the microphone, to me, is a natural extension of my own personality. It just is. And, you know, if you'd enjoy listening, thank you. I enjoy talking. So there it is. How did I get on this? Yes, I got on it because I'm interested in this network. I'm interested in how the network got off the ground. I was telling you to go to AmericaOutloud.news because it's full of great information. And I was talking about how great the network is. And then it brought me to one of these days. And I have not given him a personal invite yet. I don't know. He might tell me no. He might just say, no, we're not doing that. That's not going to happen. But I'm genuinely interested. I want to know. Because I like to know what makes people of this caliber. I like to know what makes them tick. And I think it would be an interesting conversation for the audience, for you. I think you would like to know what makes Malcolm tick. I mean, probably this segment has become a segment on Malcolm, and he's not even here. I did not intend for this. There's other stuff I wanted to get into, but, you know, sometimes this is the way it goes. Sometimes rabbit trails prevail. Rabbit Trails Prevail. That'll be the title of my book. Rabbit Trails Prevail. Okay. So more on that, I guess, later, once I give Malcolm a formal invite. All right. So we've talked about victories, really, the past couple of days, victories in Idaho. And it's fun. Isn't it fun to talk about victory? I love it. I love to talk about victory. So we here, I guess, since on the subject of victory, we're a small Christian classical private school. We're small. And if you've heard me talk about Waterbrook, I mean, we're not. I think when people think of private schools and then classical Christian schools, they just think that I'm sitting here in my office drinking tea and eating crumpets and just rolling in money. And I talk like this. Where are my tea and crumpets? That is not what happens here. We are not rolling in money. We charge a low tuition because we want to make this education accessible to as many people as possible. And it's to the point where our tuition alone isn't enough to pay the bills. And I'm not trying to send out a plea for money here. I'm just stating a factual statement. Tuition alone doesn't pay the bills. And so we have to fundraise. We're just the small school. And I think, you know, people have a different perspective on the outside of a classical Christian school. And quite often it's not their perspective. However, we have beautiful programs here. I'm telling you what, we have quality programs. We have quality people leading those programs. We have quality students involved in those programs. And I talk about the music program here all the time. We have two music instructors. I'm going to call them out by name. I don't know that they listen. I mean, they probably don't, because they just get tired of hearing me all the time. They do. They probably just tune me out. I don't know that. Well, I do know some staff members listen. That's true. I do know, because they tell me. They tell me they like it. And so if you're a staff member at Waterbrook and you're listening, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. I don't know that my music teachers listen, but Mrs. Hogan, Mrs. Campo, and they are fantastic. They're quality individuals. They're quality at their craft. They know what they're doing. The beginning and the intermediate and the concert band that Mrs. Hogan has put together in this music department is, I'm telling you what, I would put it up against any concert band in the country, public school, private school, doesn't matter. Yeah, I would put this concert band up against them. And the same with the strings orchestra. Mrs. Campo teaches the strings orchestra, and she's got, you know, beginning, intermediate, you know, she's got the advanced, which she calls the Hartz strings, a little play on words, because we're the Waterbrook Hartz, H-A-R-T-S. Nice little play on words there. Heartstrings. I would put her orchestra up against any orchestra in the country, because these individuals are quality and they know how to teach kids. And our orchestra and concert bands sound fantastic. They sound excellent. I love them. Our art teacher, I'll call her up, and I don't think she listens. Caitlin Thompson is fantastic. She's young and energetic, and the kids love her, and she's an artist, and she knows what she's doing. And the arts program here is amazing. You know, while other schools are closing down their artistic departments, you know, for lack of funding, here we are. We're just a small private school, you know, on the outskirts of Flint, Michigan, with very, very little funding. And we are crushing it. So athletically, we're crushing it. We go against the public schools and we whip up on them. We've got a bowling team. I'm telling you what, we have a couple bowling coaches that are spectacular. I'm going to call them out. Yeah. Noah and Rochelle, or Nick and Rochelle Wood, just, they are fantastic and they know how to coach these kids. And this year, right now, I think our bowling team is undefeated and they're going to win it all. I promise you, they're going to win it all because we have quality people. We have a softball team. Our softball coach, I'm going to call him out. Sean Broker is fantastic. And he's got these girls playing and they go against the public schools. Our bowling team goes against the public schools and we whip up on them. Just, I mean, we played a public school. Here we are, this small little, you know, we have, you know, 200 kids, K to 12. All right, we have a high school of probably 90 kids, 70, 80, 90. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking middle and high school. I mean, it's not big. It's not big at all. And we're going up against high schools that have hundreds of kids. And on the softball diamond, we are mercying them. We're just laying it out. It's just it's a quality program. And I love it. I love being a part of it. It doesn't take money. It doesn't take fame. Doesn't take a credit card to ride on this train. I don't know how I ended up going to Huey Lewis and the news. I'm just telling you, it takes passion. It takes passion. takes love. It takes quality individuals. Quality individuals to lead something and to grow something and to develop something. And to be a part of something like this is, to me, is just fantastic. So my alter ego and my personality here behind the microphone is, it flows easily for me because I enjoy talking to myself. But you know, running Waterbrook is just beautiful. It is it's its own thing that I just, you know, I think it's fantastic. And I love to watch it become what it's becoming. I do. I love it. And I just, I tell them all the time, I'm going to, you're going to have to wheel me out. I'm not going to retire. I'm not. One of these days, I'm going to be sitting at my desk and that's just it. You're going to hear a thump and you're just going to have to come take me out. At that point, you'll know it's over. You'll know that we're done. When we hit the century mark, and we're going to hit the century mark. And I started this whole conversation here, this little rabbit trail that I went down because of victory, because we love victories. And, you know, we're talking about these victories in Idaho, and it made me think about the victories that we've experienced here in this small little school. Victories on the softball diamond, victories on the bowling alley, victories in the music program and the art program and the various programs that are happening here. Now, we've had some athletics where the victories are few and far between. I'm going to tell you, it goes both sides. We've had some years where the basketball team was didn't win a game. I mean, that's going to happen. We're going to have the ups and downs, but we look at it and we say, all right, we got something that we can build here. We got something worth building. I mean, that's my attitude and that's my perspective about it. We have got something worth building. You didn't win a game all season. I know. We've got something worth building. Isn't it great? So that's the optimism, the optimistic side of me, the side that just puts on the rose-colored glasses and says, yeah, we got something to build. Let's go after it. It's just fun to talk about victories. That's all. It's fun to talk about Idaho. Idaho is crushing it. They're out there getting it done. In some instances, though, we have to talk about things where the victories are not happening, you know, very often. And that's usually when we talk about California or Oregon or Washington, you know, those victories tend to be fewer. Now, speaking of California and victories coming up tomorrow, California needs 500,000 signatures. I talked about this last week for this Child Protection Act to go on to the ballot next fall. If you live in California, you have not signed your name to this petition. You need to look it up, find it. If you know people in California, call them. Tell them to sign their name to this petition, this act to protect children. And it's going to go on the ballot to protect kids and the very things that we've been talking about the past couple of days, coming out of Idaho, the things coming out of Kansas, the things coming out of Arkansas, everything that we've discussed here. It's on the ballot, or we want it to be on the ballot in California in the fall. So if you live in California, sign the petition. We would like to talk about some victories in California. We'd like to talk about some victories in Oregon and victories in Washington. We did have some victory in Oregon over the weekend. Oregon at their Don't Mess With Our Kids rally at the Capitol in Oregon. Over 1,000 people showed up. Similar to what we had in Michigan. You've got these two deep left states, Oregon and Michigan, and over 1,000 people show up at their capitals for the rallies on their, you know, in their respective time zones last Saturday. That's fantastic. So we'll take those victories. We will take them. We love them. We love victories, and they're fun to talk about. I had high hopes today of going to Washington. We need to talk about Washington because we need a victory in Washington. We did get a victory in Washington, a big victory with Coach Kennedy. You remember that. I know you do. It was last summer. And that was a huge victory. And we need another one just like it. There's a headline here that says Washington Elementary School permits Pride Club but denies prayer group. So don't have time to get into that today because I'm up against it. We will talk about this tomorrow, but we need some victory in Washington. You know, the beauty of this is the more our eyes open and the more the eyes of the Supreme Court justice is open. Maybe I should title today's show, "The Eyes of the Nine Robed in Black Are Opening." I don't know. I mean, that sounds overly dramatic. I like overly dramatic, though. But this is good, that the fact that the eyes are opening and the eyes of the justices are opening. We need more of this. And we need it to happen in Washington. That's right. We need it to happen in these left locales. Because ultimately, the people there, I don't think the people there are left. I don't think they're progressives, but the leaders. I mean, take Michigan. I don't believe that, it's a left state, it's deep blue. I mean, its leaders are. But I think the people here are not Marxist progressives. I mean, my neighbors aren't. The people I know and associate with aren't. The people in my community aren't. Victory, 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 nonetheless. And we're going after it, kids. We are. We're going after it, and we're going to go after it tomorrow and the next day. So let's go to Washington tomorrow. And I think tomorrow we're going to have a history class. There are some big moments in history taking place tomorrow. So expect a history class. Oh, it's my favorite time of the day. Absolutely. History class is just, I can't get enough of it. Washington and history class together again. And there's just some good stuff. There is some good, exciting stuff to talk about tomorrow. But all right, we'll do it. We're up against it. That's all the time we have for today, America. Thank you for joining me. Encourage your friends and family to get on the Dean's List. Share this show, spread it. We must unite to renovate the age.